Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to your favorite cousins and your new favorite podcast. Join the cousins as we discuss trending topics, current events, dating, relationships, and family. New episodes are recorded and published weekly. You can listen using Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Welcome to the party. You are listening in on another episode of Your Favorite Cousins. This is Cousin Lee. We got Cousin Nadia on tonight.
Hey!
And we got Cousin Sean on tonight. We're a little light,
yeah.
So bear with us. We're going to, of course, hit the ground running with our topics. So just listen in and let's get this show going.
Okay, so first thing we're going to talk about, so Lonnie from, what's the show?
Lonnie Love.
The View.
Lonnie.
The Real. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Lonnie from The Real. So we all know, we had talked about her a couple weeks ago, and she has, you know, a white boyfriend now, and she was saying how she was saying on the show that, you know, for over 40 years she's dated black guys and she gets this one white guy and everybody wants to say anything. And back then I agreed with her, you know. I was like, you know what, Lonnie, I feel you, I understand you, you've been, you know, dating these brothers and they ain't showing you no love, so now you had to go get you an other. Well, although I agree with her, then Lonnie had an interview. I gotta give it a side eye. So we already know that she's in a swirly relationship with actor James Welsh. And, you know, everybody's been kind of rooting for them. They seem to be pretty compatible and together and everything. But she recently had an interview with Hello Beautiful. Hello Beautiful is a blog website for black women. And she candidly said in her interview that she doesn't think that her white boyfriend is privileged, that he doesn't have privilege just because he's white, and that because he had a poor upbringing, I'm paraphrasing, since he had a poor upbringing, that white privilege doesn't apply to him. And I was like, Lonnie, have a seat. What did you guys think about that? Because I had to give her the side eye.
I did too. I mean, unfortunately or fortunately for them, white men are born with a privilege that other races and other cultures are not afforded that same. So maybe just because he grew up poor does not erase his privilege.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to say. A poor upbringing does not mean that's going to determine where you are now.
Exactly.
Right. And but he is a white man in the society where we are still the minority. So he has a privilege that she doesn't have, even though she is a rich black comedian. Mm-hmm. There's still some places that no matter how much money she makes, no matter whose TV she's on, he will get in and she will not. So it doesn't matter. Like, I grew up with a friend that lived right down the street from me on the same block. And there was a swim club at the end of our block for a long time. And we were best friends. She and I were best friends. She was white. And she invited me to her pool party. And I couldn't go. And I didn't understand, like, Mom, why can't I go? Why can't I go? Because the swim club, even then in the 90s, was still all white. Mm-hmm. And she and I lived on the same block and went to the same elementary school, but she was afforded a privilege that I was not, to be able to go to this swim club.
Mm.
So it doesn't, like, growing up poor doesn't erase any kind of privilege that white people have, black men have. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And she's crazy to think that you know, it does. Yeah. But I think, you know, she hangs around with Tamara and Adam, and Tamara and Adam think like that. So I think, you know.
And can I just say, like, Adam, he, like, his family owns a winery.
Right.
So she might have saw something. And I'm not trying to throw no shade. I'm seriously not trying to throw no shade. But to me, Lonnie is really not all that funny.
Right.
And I honestly, I thought that this guy, I really did not know he was an actor. I really thought she met him on a cruise ship.
Yeah, I've never seen like him anything before. I thought he was just a regular dude, and she was going to say he's a construction worker. Like, yeah. I never seen him in no movie.
Yeah, I really thought she met him on a cruise ship or something to that nature. I did not know that he was an actor. I'm really going to have to Google him and his name to see what movies he's been in, because I've never even heard of him before. I did not. This is the first time I'm hearing he's an actor. So, James Welsh, she said, was his name. I'm going to have to Google that. I did not know his name. I don't know anything that he...
And I'm reading directly from the interview. I think a lot of people, when they look at white, they think they have privilege. But he struggled coming up just like I did. He didn't have a lot of money, and he had family issues and things like that. So we kind of relate to that as well. And when she made that comment, that made me think, first of all, the dynamic of their relationship is so different than other interracial relationships, where you right. have a Black woman and a white man. So you have a white man who's always going to be looked at as the top of the food chain, so to speak, because he's a man and because he's white. And then you have a Black woman who's always going to be looked at as at the bottom of the chain because she's Black, she's a woman, and Black women are considered to be the most unprotected in the human race, right? So yep. you have a different dynamic. I think that Lonnie tries to find, when you date outside your race, you have to find some common ground in spite of your racial differences. And I think that's where she finds the compatibility between the two of them, where she's finding like, oh, well, I went through this when I was younger. You went through this when you were younger. For the purposes of her relationship, she's looking past color. And when you love someone, that's what you do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But even in spite of looking past color and trying to find that common ground in your relationship, you can't ignore the fact that your man is still white and he is still going to be afforded certain privileges that you will never be afforded. You are always going to be looked at a certain way. People are always going to talk about your relationship. People are always going to have negative things to say about you because of the dynamic of your relationship. It is much different for a Black man dating a white woman than it is for a Black woman to date a white man. And somewhere right. in the game, I feel like Lonnie is losing sight of that part when she makes comments like this. I'm sure that she's full on aware of the struggle and the side eyes that come with her relationship. I'm here for you date whoever you want to date. If that's who you love, that's who you find common ground with. As hard as it is to find a man out here, I'm not mad at you, Lonnie, if you love that man. However, don't say stuff like this and don't expect a side eye. You can't. Like,
now I do have a question, though. My question is, why is it that, and I'm not choosing sides, but why is it that we side eye the Black woman for dating a white man, but we don't side eye a Black man for dating a white woman?
No, I don't think there's a, we're not side-eyeing her relationship. We're side-eyeing what she said. Like, you have to be for real with the privilege.
But there have been plenty of Black men who have said that they prefer to date white women, or they prefer not to date Black women.
That's great. Save me.
Right, exactly.
Love is love. You love who you love. You date who you want to date. I'm not giving you the side eye because you're dating a white man. Because quiet as it's kept, I mean, at this point in the game, I might be willing to consider a little something other. I'm considering the other, you know, and just like old girl said, Yvette Brown, when she was on the Real.
Right, show. Right.
I'm down for the brown, but if you see me with a other, you better mind your business.
Mind your business, exactly. You know, and I mean, when she talked about that, she said she tried Black men. And I mean, you know, unfortunately, both of these women are in a position where they now have money. And so they may not find a Black man that is on their level that is single, because right now, Black actors are younger or they're older or they're already married. So for them to find someone that is on their level, he may be white, he may be other, because of the position that they're in and the circles that they are in. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like, if he want to be with a Becky, he can be with a Becky. Like, it don't make no difference to me.
Okay.
I'm not side-eyeing that.
I'm getting my Farmers Only account. Y'all keep playing with me.
I'm going to
be right up on Farmers Only.
Listen, though.
With a cowboy hat and cowboy boots and all.
But listen, though, anybody that dates outside of their race, again, I could care less one way or the other. You do what you want to do for yourself. You know, love is love. However, you do have to have an awareness. I think that Lonnie making a statement like this make it seem like she has lost sight of the awareness of her situation. And I think that that could be problematic. Just like I also think it's problematic if a Black man wants to date a white woman, great. I don't have anything to say against that if that's who you love and that's who you find compatibility with. However, as a Black man, you cannot be naive to certain things that may come about because of the situation you're in. Because again, the dynamic with Lonnie and her man, us Black women are considered the most unprotected, whereas the white woman is the most protected. And the man is the most unprotected in that relationship. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't be in certain situations and just ignore things that come along with the relationship, because that's what it is. Because that's what the climate is. It doesn't mean that, you know, you can't be together. You just have to make sure you have certain awarenesses of your situation. And for a lot of Black men, you have some Black men that won't date white women because of the history. You know, that when it comes to Black men and white women, that could be a problematic relationship. Anybody dating outside their race or culture, that relationship can be problematic in that sense. But any relationship is problematic if you, you know, add the wrong things to it. But for this conversation right here, I'm not side-eyeing Lonnie because she with the white guy. I'm side of Lonnie because she's trying to make us believe that this man don't have privilege because he ain't had no money when he grew up. It's a whole lot of white people that didn't have money when they grew up, and they always gonna have a leg up over me because of the color of their skin. That's just the reality that we're in. So that's why Lonnie gets the side eye from me on this. I was just like, girl, bye. So as I said, Lonnie be doing too much. Sometimes, I mean, like you said, Nadia, I don't find her funny at all. And she definitely ain't funny with this one. So we're going to move along. So we posted a poll on our Facebook page. If you follow us on Facebook, hopefully you're seeing our polls or you're seeing our discussions and you are commenting. But if not, it's never too late to join the party. So make sure you follow us on Facebook and you can partake in our polls. So we had a poll about a week or so ago asking, should you date or would you date your friend's ex? And I think the vote was a little split. You had some people flat out like, no, that's breaking the code. And then you had one that was like, well, it depends on who it is. It depends on the friend and it depends on the ex. Like, I mean, are you letting it fly or are you fighting?
I'm on the fence. My thing is, it depends on how long were y'all together.
Mm-hmm.
If this was like a long term thing, y'all was together 6, 7, 8 years, y'all maybe got a baby together, something like that. Nope, I'm not even going there.
Right.
Don't come knocking on my door, Tyrone. No, you can't use my phone. None of that. Don't do that. But if this was something where y'all was just testing the waters for maybe like 3 or 4 or 5 months, Oh, okay. I might let you shoot your shot. I might see what it's hitting for a little bit, because y'all didn't even go nowhere. Y'all didn't go nowhere. But I will.
But that's give not you a that relationship. Courtesy. That's not a relationship.
Yeah, I will give you that courtesy.
That's just talking, and getting to know you, whatever, whatever.
I'm going to give you that courtesy, and I'm going to let you know. I'm not even going to sit there and put it out there. I'm going to say, look, so-and-so hit me up, and we're going on a date. Because, hey, y'all wasn't even, you know, talking for that long.
Well, I feel like my views have actually changed over the years. Now, there was a point in time, if I knew you even had a crush on somebody, if you were my friend and we're close friends, if I knew you even had a crush on somebody, I wasn't checking for them. And very, very close friends, especially if I know how my girl feel about him, you know, because I've had a friend who's like crushed on somebody behind the scenes, like it's very, very serious to her. And, you know, something like that, okay. I'm not going to touch it, because ultimately I care about my friend's feelings. If I knew it would hurt my friend's feelings, I'm not doing it, okay? But if it's someone and like Nadia said, like if y'all had a long-term relationship, you got kids, you got history, I'm not touching that either. But if it's somebody you kind of kicked it with over the summer, you know, your little short-term boyfriend, little boo thing, whatever, and depending on how close we are friends, I may or may not. I mean, I'm kind of on the fence myself. It really depends on who it is. Like I said, some of my very closest friends, even if I knew that they liked them and I knew how they felt about that person, depending on how they felt about the person would determine that.
Because to me, it's like, you never know what's going to happen if you don't shoot your shot, because like, somebody's cup of water might be your milkshake.
Okay.
So it's just like, hey, like,
but it might not
be right for you.
And it depends on the relationship. Like, there was this girl that was a friend of a friend, and she and I got close, and I took her somewhere with me on campus, and she didn't go to college with us, and introduced her to my ex-boyfriend. And she was like, oh, you know, whatever, I'm not going to talk to him, blah, 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 blah. They ended up getting married, I think, and had a kid. And I was like, you know, wait, but my problem with the situation was that she lied and that she said she wasn't going to, you know, deal with him, but she did anyway. So, I mean, I guess it is what it is. If you're honest, like, he and I weren't together anymore and we were just friends, but they both said, oh, no, don't worry, we're not going to do this.
Mm.
So, you know, like, I mean, if don't go sneaking around.
Right.
You know.
Well, I know, like, I was in that situation before. You know, a friend of mine who, I mean, it wasn't like my very, very best friend. It wasn't any of my very best friends because, again, we are, but I did have a friend that I was pretty solid with, who liked someone that liked me.
Mm-hmm.
We were dated, but she liked someone that liked me, and he expressed to me how he felt about me, and I was just like, ugh.
But she and him weren't in a relationship, right?
They weren't in a relationship, but I knew how she felt about me. You understand what I'm saying? And I was just kind of like, oh man, I had empathy. You know what I'm saying? I was like, let me put myself in their shoes. If this was me, would my feelings be hurt? And I think that ultimately, I ended up telling him, I was like, yo, I'm very flattered. And it is a real unfortunate situation because me and this guy actually had chemistry. You know what I'm saying? And it was like a whole vibe, but I was like, you know what? I know that she will be crushed if I talk to you. And ultimately, my allegiance is to her. Because I like you too. I don't know you like that, you know. And, my allegiance is to her ultimately. Now, I used to often think to myself, What if I gave that person a chance?
That's my whole thing. You right. often, like, you sit there and you often, if you often question, well, what if I would have done it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that could have been, you know, my little fairy tale ending.
It could have been. And I considered that.
Who knows? Yeah, like, because who knows? You could have told your friend, hey, you know, so-and-so wanted to talk to me. And she could have been okay with it. She could have just chalked it up and said, all right, well, cool, whatever. You know, he don't like me. He liked you. It's all right.
What kind of deep
blah, blah, blah.
Inside, though, I don't feel like she would have been okay with it. That was another thing.
Right. I mean, you have to know your friend. If that friend is close to you.
And I don't think she would have been okay with that because, again, me knowing my friend, like, oh, man, she would have been crushed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I was like, nah, I ain't going to do that. But,
right.
I mean, that didn't stop the perception of other people looking at it a certain way. But I'm like, I can't help. I didn't do anything. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I didn't do anything. I didn't tell this guy to come over and say anything to me. He approached me on his own free will. He came up to me out the blue like, yo, what's up? And I was like, ooh, I had to curve him. Because, and I'm not going to lie, I thought about it. I was like, well, maybe, you know, we're grown. Let's have a conversation. Like, hey, he doesn't like you. He likes me. He came to me. You know, let's see what it's hitting for. But ultimately, I was like, no, I got to have empathy. But let me tell you something. And this right now, on May 6th, in the year of our Lord, in 2019, that won't happen again. Because at 37, I don't have time to waste. Listen here. Your secret crush like me and that man come up to me, you short. Right, your party over, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want mm-hmm. it. Your party over. The cops has come. The lights have popped on. They found out you ain't got no liquor license. Your party over. Your party over. I don't want to hear
she
it.
She said, shut down the speakeasy.
Shut it down. Crush. I ain't talking about your boyfriend. I ain't talking
right.
about you that you been kicking it with and you got strong and y'all done said y'all love each other. I'm talking about who you like him and he don't know it and he like me. Or I don't care. Y'all been kicking it for 3 months and it ain't hit off with y'all. Because honestly, I'm not going to be mad. Because like Nadia said, I mean, you shoot your shot. It might not be for me, but it might be for you. What's this? What the people be saying was good for the goose is good for the gander, something like that.
Something mm-hmm. like that, yeah.
I don't even know if it sound good right now. You won't get me. I won't get got like that again, let me tell you. So if your boo thing, mm-hmm. your little man crush Monday, if he like me and he don't like you, they ain't got nothing to do with me, sis. Telling you
right,
mm-hmm. I want here. We still gonna be friends. You still my role dog. This to any sis of mine, again, except for very, very close friends, because I know how they would feel. I'm not out to hurt nobody's feelings, but you know, again, in this year of our Lord of 2019, we got things to do. We gotta be progressive and aggressive in our dating. So,
child,
something you didn't go get.
Child, that was her salad, but that could have been your T-bone steak, honey, with a side of with a baked potato with some extra butter and some whipped cream and the little child.
A buffet. I could have had it
with the A1 steak sauce all to yourself.
Not at all. Look, it could have been me and you. But anyway, so that was our Facebook poll. Like I said, we were kind of torn, like 50-50 on the issue. Would you date a friend's ex? So last topic for the night. A couple weeks ago, probably about 2 weeks ago now, our good sis Sierra was on What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. And somebody called, you know, on Andy Live, he has callers call in to talk to his guests. And someone, of course, called and said, hey, sis, Sierra, what was the prayer?
Right.
Ever since she popped on the scene with Russell Wilson, all of us have been like, Sierra, I need you. Right. I'm not going to lie. I slid in sis DM a couple times like, Sierra, I just need you to write the prayer. You could put it in a post. You ain't got to message me. you could just put it on a post and put it on your Instagram so I can screenshot it, so I can print it, so I can hang it and meditate on that good, good prayer. That I tell you, you got a whole unicorn, and I need that good man. I need to know. So she says, I think we kind of got some hot fish grease here. I think she gave it verbatim, but I think we might have figured out what the prayer is. One thing that I have noticed, even in my interview on that clip that I watched, and I've heard her say in other interviews, because again, this is the burning question. All the ladies want to know, Sierra, what is the prayer? What did you say to get Russell Wilson? One of the things that she consistently says that I heard her say is that she had to step away from a lot of things and really focus on herself. And really be about herself and learn to love herself again after going through so much hurt. I'm going to give y'all a secret. I'm going to tell y'all where the prayer is at. The prayer is in that song she got, Greatest Love. Have you listened to it?
Yes. Yes.
Listen to the words of that song. She tells us what the prayer is, but see, ain't nobody listening because they want Sierra, like myself. I want Sierra to write it down verbatim. I want to know. Read it and meditate on it and memorize it and say it every night before I lay me down to sleep. But
she also said, like, you gotta spend some time praying for yourself. Like, I don't think she actually, I mean, maybe she prayed for Russell, but she prayed for a man to be all of those things that future was not.
Right. And that's the thing. And that's what she's like, you know, she went through so many things. She went through so much hurt. She had to learn how to love herself again, learn how to be alone, learn how to prepare for what she wanted. And I think that that's just, you know, we spend all jokes aside, we spend a lot of time trying to figure this thing out when really the answer's already in front of us. And really, she's not saying anything that we don't already know. You do have to love yourself. You do have to commit yourself to yourself. And that means honoring yourself. That means knowing what you deserve and holding out for that sometimes. Something else, though, there was an interview that Russell Wilson did early on. I think this was before they even got married. Anyone that follows Russell Wilson knows anything about him, know that he is heavy in his faith. And one thing he said in an interview is that he knew that he wanted to be married, and he knew that he wanted a wife, and he knew what he wanted, and that's what he prayed for. And he said when he met her, he knew that that was his wife, and he said that God told him that he needed to lead her. So I think in turn, Sierra had to be in a position where she could be led, if that makes
right.
sense. And a lot right. of what she says in these interviews, it fits exactly to what he's saying, which is you got to be prepared. If you want something, you have to prepare yourself. A big thing this year is manifestation. Whether it's a relationship, whether that's with any personal goals you have, work goals, whatever it is, if you sow seeds for perpetual harvest last year, 2019 is a year of manifestation. So I think that she was in a position where she went through something, and she asked God to take out everything negative in her life, and he replaced it with Russell. And when you listen to that song, Greatest Love, she says that. And that is what she says, and the words in that song are consistent with what she says in an interview. So I don't think it's necessarily that she has to write it out. I think that there's an actual prayer. I think that there are a series of things and a change that she went through that pushed her into being able to find someone like this. I do believe that there are many Russell Wilsons out there, but we can't see them because they're being overshadowed by other people and other things. There are some really, really, really good men out here. I still believe that, although my experiences with men are way different from what I believe. Don't let that deter me from knowing that there are some good men out here. Because, like, I even said it last week, and this is my theme probably been for the last month. Niggas are raggedy. So, you know, I always meet the ragman. The more ragman he is, he gonna find me. So,
But you presented a valid point with the she had to be ready to lead. So my friends and I, we have this conversation all the time about allowing the man to lead and not always being like, well, I can do it. I don't need you to do it. Bah, 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 bah. And really being like, okay, is this what we about to do? You all right, you the boss. Like, we have to get out of the habit of being like, oh, you can't unclog the toilet. I do it myself. Where the plunger at? Like, let him do it, sis. And you be quiet and you let him wear the pants, so to speak, in the relationship. Because unfortunately for Black women, I mean, you said in the song, she says, you know, I can do it on my own, but you won't let me.
Yep. You won't let me.
So I mean, like,
allowing, it's about men taking their place too. And we can go down the rabbit hole with this conversation. I'm actually going to add that.
Sure can.
We're going to add that to the list of topics to talk about. That word is such an ugly word to so many of us, but that word submission
is a word.
So we're going to have a conversation about that.
But I already know what she had said.
Say it. Let the people know.
Listen. Let me tell you what she had did, because I had talked to Sierra personally. I already know what she did, okay? This is what she had said. She went out. She got her some sage, right? Because you know you got to get you some sage when you need some cleansing. When you need to do some spiritual cleansing and you know you got to cleanse your house and everything, you got to get you some sage. So she went out, got her some sage, right? Then she told me, she said this. She said, look, I went and I got me an almond-scented candle. I said, an almond-scented candle? What you need an almond-scented candle for? She said, because I like my man almondy. I said, all right, honey. Do that then. So she went and she got her an almond-scented candle because she wanted something almondy. I said, oh, all right then. So if you want you a chocolate-covered man, get you a chocolate-scented candle. If you want a vanilla man, get you a vanilla-scented candle. But she wanted an almond-colored man, so she got her an almond-scented candle.
That's conjuring already.
Right.
So next thing she did, she went around the house. She lit the candle. She went around the house. She started burning the sage. And she closed the eyes. Y'all got your eyes closed? Because we all got to say this prayer together. Okay? You got to believe. You got to believe in the word that's going to come through, that came from Sierra, and it's going to come through me.
Okay.
She said, Lord. Okay, you got to make sure you put a T on it. She said, Lord.
Okay.
Please. Release me. Release me from these demons that be haunting me. That is Future and Bow Wow and all these men that keep coming into my life that ain't sugar, honey, iced tea. I can't say the word because, you know, we got followers, but I can't say the word. But it's a family show. But that's what she had said to me. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. She said, release me from these men. Bring me something almondy. Somebody with a job. Somebody with a future. I said, Lord. She said, bring me somebody who can lead. Somebody who knows how to lead a team. And I said, oh, let somebody know how to lead a team. You trying to have a team full of children? She said, no. I'm not trying to have a team full of children. But if he knows how to lead a team, then we have a team full of children, and so shall it be. I said, oh! Speak that word, girl. Speak that word!
I'm sick of this prayer.
Right, exactly. That prayer didn't happen. So let me make a disclaimer.
You know she didn't got her quarterback, and he leads the team. He leads that team down the field now.
Yes,
and
but she is not releasing that prayer. She don't listen. She released you that figure prayer. Out
that's
your
word
own.
That came through.
You
her.
Have
she
to
got
figure out your
man.
Own prayer.
She
and
got
you have to
man.
Be ready. that didn't happen.
And
he
needs
but, okay.
a team. And I nope, said, nope. "The Lord have mercy."
Wrong.
He was right, girl.
Wrong. Next.
I got me an almond scented candle burning right
good
now. When we get
that.
Off this podcast, I'm going to light my sage and I'm going to say my prayers.
And you let us know how that works.
And watch, we going to be Cupid shuffling at my wedding next year.
Okay.
I'm going to say that exact same prayer.
But I felt like she prayed for herself first to change. And then when she changed, you know, that's when things happen. And people say that all the time. When you figure out what you got to do for you, that's when all the pieces fall right into place.
Yep. You have to focus on yourself. And like I said, even, you know, we get so caught up in thinking about things that don't matter. When you really zoom in and focus on what you want and you bring light and energy to whatever it is that you want, things start to happen. Like we talk all the time about manifestation and writing things down and, you know, putting pen to paper and being able to have something to focus on and meditate on and pray.
Right.
Manifest. And things happen. Like I tell anybody, I have 5 goals that I had set in mind at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I'm well on my way to goal 3. And
right.
You know, it's because I wrote these things down because I've been focused on those things. I haven't been focused on anything else. Like I even told someone that this year, I don't know. So, you know, cause I can't predict the future, but I always said that I don't even feel that this year is my year for relationships. You know, I might have interactions with people throughout the year, but it might not come until the end of this year, beginning of next year, where I really have that solid relationship and foundation that I want, because I'm preparing myself and the person that I want to be with is preparing himself. You know, you have to go through something. You have to meet, you know, there's certain things that you want and it's on your agenda. You got work to do. And once you do your work and it's like, you know what? Okay. I've done these things. I've talked about these things I want. Now I'm ready. And you'll know when you're ready for certain things. Your life will be prepared. And I think that's what Sarah was saying. You know, like, you got to prepare yourself. The way that she was then, she attracted that type of thing. She changed herself and said, you know, I'm better than this, and realized her own worth and realized who she was and said, you know what, I don't have to be someone that has 5 and 6 children. I don't have to be with this person. I don't have to be with someone who talks about negative things when they rap and gives off negative vibes when he's a part of anything. I don't have to be, barely takes care of his children. Because trust and believe, if he didn't have no money, he wouldn't take care of none of them kids.
He barely takes care of them kids, according to what, you know, what people are saying. But he's going to have a dozen kids.
But, you know, people be so worried about the wrong thing and be talking about Sierra and be trying to dog her because, you know, she's married to a man who loves her and loves her son. Well, all you corny dudes out there, y'all the real corny ones. Y'all be trying to call Russell Wilson corny. You the real cornball, because Russell Wilson is winning. Any man out here that is remotely about his business, about his family, about his woman, about his faith, whatever it is that he's about, that's winning. Not dogging a man because he's loving his wife's son.
Like, right. First of all, some of these men were raised by stepfathers, so I don't understand what they mad for.
Exactly. What you mad about? What are you mad about? Because people, look on the news. Look how many step-parents are on the news, mugshots on the news, because they've hurt somebody else's child, killed someone else's child.
Exactly.
And it loves his wife and loves that woman so much that he accepts his son. You know that your son is loved. You know that your son is taken care of. That should be your concern. That mm-hmm. No one's trying to replace you. Everybody, my God, he has your name, for God's sakes. Everybody knows that's your kid. You don't have to go around pissing on trees. Everyone knows that's your kid. But because of what Zeros have to say about it, Now, oh, he trying, that's disrespectful. She disrespect. She's not disrespecting anybody. She got a whole husband that everybody else trying to get to. Or something like it. Now, I don't look at their, I don't look at anybody's relationship and be like, relationship goals, because you never know when someone goes, what goes on behind the scenes in anyone's relationship. But I think that we could all take a tip from Sierra in the fact that honor yourself. If you honor yourself and you speak good things and you focus on you, focus on your worth and work towards that, you can't go wrong. You're bound to find your Russell. Now, I ain't telling you you're about to be quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team, nothing like that. He might be employee of the month at Best Buy. You never know. You never know. He could still be a good man. He could still be a provider. He might not have make millions of dollars, but he could still be a good man. And that's ultimately what it's about. Now, everything that you look at Sierra, you're like, oh man, sis, what's the prayer? The prayer is all lit up and through in between. You just got to pay attention.
Right. You just got to pay attention. And you have to be ready for it for yourself. So,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. So, anyone listening, if you haven't found your Russell yet, or if you with your Pookie looking for a Russell, it ain't too late, girl. It ain't too late. You can get you. You just gotta make sure you're focusing on yourself and make sure that you are preparing yourself for whatever it is you want. That's in all things, not just relationships, but whatever is on your mind that you want to happen for you. Make sure that you're putting yourself in position to receive whatever it is that you want. That's all we got for tonight, ladies.
Well, it's always good. Yep, we'll talk about some more stuff. If you have any comments or you have any speculations on what Sierra's prayer actually is, please send us an email at yourfavecousins@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook, Your Favorite Cousins. Until then, have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Bye.